Lord, we love you so much, and this is your house. We're yours. This is your service, and we want to go where you're going. So, Lord, we just thank you. We just surrender and receive all you have for us. And I pray when I open up my mouth, you fill it and go in the directions you need to go. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So this is part five in my series. We'll probably be in this for a while, on the authority that we have in Christ. Because I'll just be real, I've seen a lot of people over the years take little parts of our authority in Christ, and you don't do it in the right way, and it does damage. Anybody ever been in there? Kind of, when people kind of do things, but it just doesn't do it in the right way, and it does damage, you know? So I want to say this, faith works through love, right? And here's my challenge, I'm going to weave this in. We will only have authority over that which we love. God will only be able to use us in a powerful capacity with people which we love. So we want to see sometimes people in the world around us change. And remember, Jesus loved the world so much that he died for them, laid his life down for them, and did life with them. It's not us in them. We are in this world to connect with people in this world so God can move through us and in them and transform. Amen? A little bit of a preface there. You know, it's interesting. The last 2 years, it kind of felt like society went dark. I think a lot of Christians went to really dark places. It was a major struggle. You know, there was fear and panic and sickness that was just exploding all around us. And, you know, it hit people in different ways, but many Christians, many of us, sunk into places of deep depression, disillusionment, confusion, just disappointment, and we got stuck there. And our switch of faith turned off, and we went into the running the clock. Any people know what it means to just run the clock in a game? And, you know, it's interesting, we kind of got holed up and isolated and disconnected from people, from church, from relationships, from friends, and then we just got out of the habit. And we kind of got stuck sitting in a dark room, hoarding toilet paper, running the clock. We'll get out of it. And then we just ran out of things to watch on Netflix. How many people, like, in 3 months watched anything that was decent to watch on Netflix, and they're like, I don't know what I'm going to do for the next, you know, year and a half. You know, when you turn your switch of faith off for the world around you and the people around you and even people groups that you're frustrated or angry at, you can get to a really dark place and you can get stuck there. How many people know people that got stuck there and it changed them? It changed them as a person. It changed on how they interacted with you or even were able to even love people that were different than you. And it was really heartbreaking. And I'd say this, the church kind of got paralyzed. They didn't kind of know what to do because we were so divided on what to do. And in that case, you put your eyes on Jesus and you go do what he did. Because how many people know all the churches that believe Jesus is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings and died for us? We can agree he is the Savior of the world. And we get our eyes on him. We can come into agreement on that thing. But Satan really worked to convince us that we were powerless victims and our hands were tied. And I think a lot of people just quit. Not just quitting jobs and quit volunteering. They quit hanging out. They quit connecting. They quit living out. They quit looking to be used by God in the world around them. We quit shining out. My title today in the Authority We Have in Christ, part five, is When You Know Who You Really Are. We kind of forgot. We forgot how to love unlovely people. And when I say unlovely, I mean just people that you don't naturally connect with, that you don't naturally love, that maybe feel so different than you, that frustrate you. And we forgot how to love them. And, you know, it's interesting, and I'm going to kind of talk to two sides of the room here, because I'm going to teach some very foundational truth and go to some very deep ones. But I got to do it step by step by step. Because otherwise, one part of the room is going to say, oh, I've heard this for 30 years. And the other part of the room going, I never heard this. But I'll say this, for those that have heard this for 30 years, are you actively doing it? And those that have never kind of done the stuff that Jesus, you know, did, he said all of us can move in these gifts. I want you to know you are qualified. I'm going to teach you how. But I'll say it all comes together with both groups of connection. Galatians 5:6, the only thing that counts is faith working and expressing itself through love. In the last 2 years, we quit wanting to connect with people, especially people that are different than us, because they somehow became the enemy. We may all have different opinions on how to get there, but we are on the same team. And even if they're, you know, shooting for the other side because they don't know Jesus yet, we are called to love them and minister to them and have a heart for them and want to connect. And when I say connect, you know, like sometimes we kind of quit praying for people. You know, we'll do like that little like prayer before bed. Oh God, send someone. Oh God, bless them. Oh God, heal them. But did you know that the power of God is inside you to bring the healing power of Jesus? You don't even have to touch him. You know, sometimes Jesus touched somebody, put their hand on their shoulder or whatever. And sometimes he just spoke, but he connected. He ran into the arms of lepers. He looked to connect with people that people says, you're not good enough, you're dirty, you're unclean, you're unworthy, and he ran to them to start a conversation, to show them love and honor. He honored people that had no honor, so they had something to stand on. And I want to say this, we're just out of the habit. We kind of got a little holed up in our circles, and I'll just be real, we're kind of only hanging out with family. I'll be real. And sometimes it's just church family. That's just too small of a circle to shine out. That is the essence of hiding your light. I think we forgot how to pray with the power and authority that God has given us and release that light. Because number one, we have to remember who we really are in Christ Jesus, right? Sitting on chair number one, because we are conduits of his power. How many people remember science class when you're in grade school? Do you guys remember making a circuit? You remember you had all these little connectors and conduits, you had the little light bulb, okay? And when you are a conduit and power is in you, because the power source is Jesus Christ, we are connected with him by faith in him, right? Sometimes we kind of just even lost our faith in Jesus because things didn't play out the way we thought in the last 2 years. Well, guess what? It's time to get over it. Can we just move forward now? And reconnect, put your faith in Jesus, because he normally doesn't do things in the timing we want or in the way we want. Victory normally doesn't look like the way we thought it was going to look. And I think it's time to start pouting and move forward, y'all, okay? So remember this little circuit here? We have all these little connectors, and there's a power source, which is Jesus Christ. I am not the power source. He is, but he's inside of me. And when I turn my switch of faith on, I reconnect with that power source. And that's through faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. So be digging into the word of God, declaring scripture over your life. Start seeing God moving in those situations, not as they are, but as they're called to be. I turn my switch of faith on, and this is where I've lost the people that say, oh, I know that for the last 30 years. Because they're not connecting with anybody. And when they are, it's the same four people that they've been hanging out with for the last 30 years in the same Bible study with the same four people with no one else. And there's no new anything going on. Sometimes we need new needs. We need new messes. We need just something wild because we got to get our faith on. And it's time to connect in relationships. We are conduits. We are vessels. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So all of our science brains here, the power of God is inside of us. It is our job to connect with people to release it and stop going to bed every night praying, oh God, would you please send so-and-so? Oh God, I pray that you heal so-and-so. Oh God, I pray that you get that person out of their depression. And he said, oh Sherry, I need you to invite them over for dinner. Oh, you know, Brad, I need you to go meet at the park with them. Oh, I'm just using my own name so I don't call anybody out, right? Because he wants to use you and he sent you. And how irresponsible is it to sit there every night and we're just lazy, we're insecure, we're apathetic, and say, God sends someone else when the power source is in you, but it's time to connect the circuit. Bink, lights just went on. Ephesians 4:16, New King James Version says this, from whom, which is talking about Jesus, when you read it in context, the whole body, we are the body. We meet in different buildings. How cool is that? Do you know we have family all across York County that meet in different churches? We just all can't fit in one. We're going to jam into like an auditorium or something. But hey, we are the body of Christ and we are joined. Why do we advertise what God is doing in other churches when churches want to get the body of Christ together? Because we are one body. We're not in competition. from whom Jesus, the whole body, is joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Everybody raise your hand and say, I'm a joint. I'm a joint. Say, I'm a conduit. I'm a vessel. For the Holy Spirit to flow through, right? Every joint supplies something. There are gifts and talents. There are natural gifts and talents. There are spiritual gifts and talents, and God wants to use all of them. In fact, if you're only using your spiritual gifts, sometimes you get a little weird because you don't know how to connect with people. So I know a whole generation that does not know how to cook. But you know how to cook, and their spouse is going, please learn how to cook. And you need to be a spiritual mama and a spiritual auntie and invite them over. Come on. Kerrigan and I made, like, was it a 4-tier carrot cake? It was so good. It was, my kitchen just, there was just a mess. It just looked like an explosion. And we had a blast, right? And we learned how to cook a 4-tier carrot cake together. And then, you know, I dropped it off, the extra at your house. We had 3 birthdays in one. So, you know, a tier for everybody. But this, it was fun. It was connection. And it got Kerrigan and I to have a blast together. And we talked Jesus and we talked life and we learned something. So spiritual gifts connecting with natural gifts. You know, we have a fatherless generation that they didn't get to learn how to change their oil or fix the toilet. And I don't know, sometimes we have some toilets that break at YCF. We normally have about 1 a week. If you ever see a toilet that's broken, feel free to fix it for us. Thank you. Teach someone how to do it. And while you're teaching someone how to fix the toilet, I've done a lot of plunging, let me tell you. What is pastoral ministry? Shoveling, my first year, shoveling rock when it floods and, you know, unclogging toilets at camp. Like, we had one that I was like, let me show you how it's done, you know. This is servant leadership. This is using natural gifts with spiritual gifts. Because when you use your natural talents, it paves a way for your story. That you can then go, okay, Holy Spirit, how do you see that person? Show me how you love them. Show me how you value them, and let me speak into that. Oh, Holy Spirit, is there a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom? Do they need healing in their body? And all of a sudden, connection happens. We don't play church on Sunday morning. This is a good place. This is, remember we talked about recharging stations? To practice what we preach so you can get comfortable enough to not stay comfortable in the four walls of church and only do it in your Bible study. But go pray for your coworkers and your neighbors. Oh, I didn't even finish the scripture. Okay, Ephesians 4:16, from whom Jesus, the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective. If you want to be effective, I know so many people that have, like, been to Bible school that, you know, can quote all of Romans, but they're not effective because they're not connected and they're just weird. Because they forgot how to make some interpersonal relationships and use the skill set they've been given. You know what I did a lot when I had time? I don't, so please don't ask me right now. I love you guys. But I did. I had people that they were trying to learn how to drive, and their family probably wasn't verbally abusive. I'll just be real. They were verbally abusive. And so if you tried to learn how to drive, you were going to get cursed at, cussed at, put down. So they didn't want to learn how to drive because they didn't want to deal with verbal abuse every day. So I took him driving and then spoke into their life. And we pray together. A natural thing, a natural time to connect with someone else and give. How many people, now raise your hands because we have parents looking, how many people could help teach a teen or a young adult how to drive? Yeah, God wants to use you. Now everybody's like, write the number down. Stressing me out. My mom straight up told me, she goes, I'm not teaching you how to drive. Pop's going to teach you how to drive because he's the most patient man in the entire world. Encouraging and loving. How many people love them grandparents, right? How many people have adoptive grandparents? Let me tell you, look around. There's some awesome ones that love to adopt you in this house. According to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. And each part is then working properly. You know, dysfunctional people that are just like hurt people wherever they go, they forgot, number one, how to receive the love of God, love themselves, forgive themselves, and love other people, forgive other people, and just how to have a conversation that's not weird. So please, start connecting with people that are different than you, because you'll get better at connection, where you don't go up preaching to them. You go up going, let me do life with you. Hey, your lawnmower needs fixed? Let me show you. I can teach you how to fix your lawnmower. Then go pray for them. A lot of people say no to prayer, but after you fix their lawnmower, you can pray for me. I just became a hero to my spouse. Yes, we are on the same team, right? So I say this, healthy joints Healthy conduits connect. Healthy joints connect. If you are disconnected, you are disjointed, you are what we call dysfunctional Christians. Quiet, oh, so quiet. I'm just going to look at my notes. Okay. You need friends. Please make new friends. Make new friends. Keep the old one. It's over in the other. It's gold. Okay. Make new friends. What do I tell every week? Come on, guys. We're getting a little clicky here. I love y'all. I think we're going to do musical chairs in your grow groups. And just, okay, half of you go to someone else's grow group. Make some new friends before you get weird. Okay, like, it's time to get together. It's time to mix it up a little bit, right? Because we're growing. But what I'm noticing is we just have the pockets of the same people hanging out. And that will lead to being disjointed, dysfunctional, not healthy. We're going to get together. Okay. You off your soapbox? Yes. Yes, Lord, I'm sorry. All right. Let me look here. All right, so we forgot who we really are. Number one, we are conduit vessels of his power. I am not the power source. Jesus is the power source, but he is inside me, right? And when you love people and you know that you have the power source inside you, you'll remember that I am his ambassador. I am his representative. And the Lord wants to move through you in other people's lives. And that is how you pray and minister with power and authority. Because I want to sing so many songs right now, but the singer in our family is Brad. You know, I've got the power. You know, no, I'm not the power. He's the power. And I have to do this because people take some things out of context, right? And they think all these, oh, you know, you're making it all about your command of God. Blah, blah, blah. No, I'm just straight up. He's the power. He's inside of us. But if I am disconnected and disjointed and not looking to have a little eye contact with a cashier in front of me, you will lose opportunity for the power source to flow through you. We are not just called to pray for people. We're not just called to pray for the sick. It actually says, go heal the sick. I've got the power. Okay, I am not, it's not me. It's him inside me, right? We are called not to just go pray for people. We are called to go bring healing and freedom to every person around us. Bring the fruits of the Spirit with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Without the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and self-control, you will push people away with the power gifts of the Holy Spirit. I talk too fast. You follow that. Faith works by love. You want the power to flow with effectiveness? Learn how to do life with people that are different with you. Learn how to connect. Learn how to love. Learn how to get in the Holy Spirit flow of love, joy, peace. If you don't carry peace, I carry peace. He's inside of me. But I'm not releasing him by taking captive my thoughts. I'm so off my notes. This is fun. I don't draw attention to it. That's right. Okay, here we go. All right. Here we go. We are not just called to pray for the sick. We are not just called to pray for people that are bound in demonic torment. We're not just called to pray for people that are struggling with imbalances and illness in their mind. We're not just called to pray for them. We are called to bring freedom, bring healing, release that, because I have to connect. I'm not the power. He's the power, but I'm called to connect with them, and God does the work. I think we got too used in our isolation just praying for people without connecting with people. Do you know you can pray for someone with power over video chat? I have family all over the United States. Did you know you can video chat with them and pray for them with power? Because Jesus spoke, but I'm still connecting. I think we got in the habit of holding up every weekend with Netflix. And holding up every weekend, you know, video gaming and, you know, just redecorating and redecorating and redecorating our house. And, you know, how many renovations do you really need to do as an excuse to not connect with people? You can video chat, right? You can call them up. I'm still connecting. Let's get to the point where we're inviting people to come over, inviting people to catch up, even if it's just a phone call, because if they start doing that with you, they'll probably come to church with you. But if you're just doing a cold call, hey, we're doing a special event at church, you should come, but that's a coworker and you've never invited them to go out to lunch with you, are they going to go to church with you? They haven't even done lunch with you yet. I know people invite people to church every week, and you should do that, but they're not connecting with anyone every week in a place where they feel safe. Got to remember who we really are in chair number one, joint seated with him in heavenly places, right? Because when you know who you are, you know what to do, and you'll learn to live out in connection as a conduit of his power to the people around you, outside the four walls of our church and outside of the walls that we create. Because, you know, we create walls physically. You know, I look at people's countenance, their face. Their face is a wall that says, do not talk to me. Right? You know, even the fake cheese smile. Do not talk to me. Having a bad day. Right? Come on. Y'all know it. We put up walls physically and we put up walls emotionally. And why do we do that? Because it gives us a false sense of security. Because we're actually just really insecure. Because we're out of the habit. Guys, we're out of the habit. We went through a pandemic, okay? Like, we're out of the habit of socializing. I talk to students all the time. I have social anxiety. I was like, no, that's, okay, I get it. There are imbalances, right? There are actual chemicals in your brain. There's illness in your brain, right? There are diseases. They are out there. God came to heal your brain. It's an organ. I get that. But a lot of people use it as an excuse because they're really just insecure because they're out of practice. So I correct my teens all the time. I was like, some people have social anxiety, but not the entire youth group, okay? So at this point, we need to get you reconnected with who you are in Christ Jesus. Build yourself up. Start doing relationships within the youth group, right? So you can build up your confidence in Christ Jesus to connect. There are mental illnesses. There are disease. Your brain, like any organ, you have heart disease, you can have brain disease, okay? I'm trying to make it simple for people because sometimes we over-spiritualize things, okay? But don't use it as an excuse when that's not the case, when it's really just a physical wall, an emotional wall. Because we got chair number two. Remember chair number two? Where we are just so caught up in our emotions. We're saved. We're with Jesus. But, like, we forgot who we really are, and we're just so run by our emotions and how we feel, and we do life and everything out of our emotions, disconnected, power switch off, because we don't feel worthy, because I don't feel good, I'm not having a good day. Life is hard, everybody. When you signed up to give your life to Jesus, it was not candy-coated rainbows and sunshines. Life is just hard. I think we sold a candy-coated gospel to people. No, it's hard. In fact, there's tons of persecution and suffering within the Bible when you sign up to follow Jesus, right? But we are to be walking by the Spirit, not by our emotions. Because you'll turn that switch on and get disconnected because I'm feeling depressed, I'm feeling down. I'm like, yeah, welcome to this world, okay? But when I turn my switch of faith off that God wants to use me to connect with someone else. You know, some of the greatest healing will come by praying with someone else to receive healing. We are vessels. We get washed out and through why we connect and pray with other people. So the next time someone goes up to you and you're stuck in chair number two and they say, so how are you doing? Good, fine, blessed down, glory together, amen, good, all right. Fake smile. Can you just stop lying to yourself and everyone else? I'm in faith. No, you're not. You are lying. Okay, and Satan wants you to lie, to isolate you, to just keep all them walls up so you don't connect, and just say, you can be honest, I am having an awful week. I feel like I am trapped in hell right now. Everything is falling apart. I got a medical diagnosis here. You know, my kid ran away from home. Will you pray with me? Or don't even ask. Just pray with them. Because I think we cut off our connections and our accountability in our social circles. We cut off the connections and accountability with our neighbors, with the people inside of our church, because we always sit in the same place. Oh, I know, I went there, musical chairs Sunday. We're going to do musical chairs Sunday. It's going to be great. Oh, there's so much I want to say. And the Lord says, just move forward. I said, yes, sir. Okay, we're good. Church is about connection. It is about encouraging people in the presence of God, right? This is a recharging station. This is where we practice using the gifts he's given us so we can use them outside the four walls. This is where you stir yourself up and get an overflow by faith, not by feelings. This is something, you know, when all the lights in the room, you know, hey, you remember those concerts where everybody gets their lighter out? You know, it's really cute when it's like one, you know, but when everybody gets out, it's like, oh, this is so beautiful, and everybody just starts recording and stops you know, participating with the concert, but that's okay. There's something about when a corporate, a bunch of people would gather together and turn their switch of faith on and turn the light on in the school district at CU at the pole, or gather together with a couple of your coworkers in the break room and not going to make it weird, be like, hey, we're going to sit down, we're going to share our stories, and we're going to pray for each other at the end. We're going to turn our light on. And where two or more are gathered together in his name, a bunch of people are sitting around complaining. I can't believe this politically. I can't believe that. The world's going to hell in a handbasket. Jesus is coming soon. Amen. Okay, your light's not on. You are sitting in darkness. You are stuck in darkness. And be honest with you, you're spreading darkness. Ooh, we talked about that earlier. It's time to turn the switch of faith on and see the people and the world around you in faith, because Jesus died for them. So they had access not just to be saved from hell, but to live, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We bring heaven to earth every day by turning the switch of faith on and connecting with a power source and releasing his power, his love, his joy, his peace, his healing, his freedom wherever we go. John 8:22, Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. We forgot that we are called into the darkness. In. That means every career path. Every career path you are called to represent. And that means when they're yelling and screaming and cursing and cut each other's down and the dog eat dog happens, I am choosing not to go into the world's way. I'm choosing to do it Jesus's way. And be the light. John 17:15-18. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil ones. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. We are the light of the world. Matthew 5:14-16, Jesus said, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. In their Us Four No More Bible study of only the same four people that have been doing the same Bible study for 30 years. Maybe go meet in a public place. I'm for real. Why? Because people are like, hey, what are you doing? You know? What are you doing? You're like, you know, sharing stories. I'm hearing a little bit about Jesus. You're praying for each other. I belong to a youth pastors network, and we go to a restaurant here in town. And, you know, I always like talk a little bit to the check, you know, the person that takes your order or whatever. And, hey, you're here every month. What do you guys do? I was like, oh, we're youth pastors. We're here, you know, just friends. It's the highlight of my month. We pray for each other. And they think that's so cool to see that Christians from all different churches gather together. And don't make it weird. Sometimes doing things outside your four walls will actually gather some people to you, right? No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In that same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. What happened? I think we just got so emotionally overwhelmed. How many people just get emotionally overwhelmed because it's just stressful right now? Okay. It's just stressful. Everybody's still like a little on edge, right? We get emotionally overwhelmed and we turn our switch of faith off and we start comparing ourselves to the people around us. We're like, oh, I'm not doing so bad. I'm just doing what they're doing, right? This is, don't compare yourselves among yourselves or you'll be found foolish. And we go into apathy. We got to get doing the stuff. Doing the stuff that Jesus did. I go to church. Okay, good. When was the last time you prayed for someone? Oh God, I hope that you heal them. When was the last time you prayed for someone to receive healing in their body? And not just before you go to bed at night, but just go pray for them. You don't have to make it weird. You don't even have to touch them. Jesus spoke sometimes. I think we just kind of got apathetic running the clock and we forgot to wake up. You ever forget to set your alarm? Brad and I have those moments. I'm like, oh, it's 7:30. We're going to go. You just forget to set your alarm to wake up. Well, I'm going to say this. Guess what? The alarm's ringing. It's time to wake up. It's time to connect. It's time to be the light. Isaiah 61:4. says, arise from the spiritual depression. This is the Amplified. Arise from the spiritual depression to a new life and shine, be radiant with the glory and the brilliance of the Lord. For your light has come and the glory and brilliance of the Lord has risen upon you. For in fact, darkness will cover the earth. Okay, I get it. It will. And deep darkness will cover the people. But the Lord will rise upon you. His glory and his brilliance will be seen on you. Nations will come to your light, kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes around you and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons and daughters will come from far away. I'll say this. Sometimes we hide behind knowledge, which is just kind of religion, because we know a lot of stuff. And we crave the gifts of the Holy Spirit because they're powerful. But we forget the fruits of the Holy Spirit that coat the gifts to be received. When you shine with absolute, unconditional, agape love, with the peace of God, with his presence, they want to hear about your Jesus. And they're open to you praying for them to receive healing, to receive freedom, to receive Jesus, to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit and all the gifts they have. But many times we come out with power gifts and preach at people, beat them up with the Bible, and they're like, well, we're good. Number one, you're weird. And number two, you have no people skills. I'm good. Thank you. Thanks for the invite. No, I'm not going to go to your church. Truth. Come on, raise your hand if you've seen it. All right. And what happened is we backed away from that because we associated powerful gifts with abrasive personalities. And that's not the case. They may just be aggressive. I'm aggressive. I'm real aggressive. I have some aggressive friends out here. We get it done, man. Okay, that's okay. But we got it, right? We got to coat ourselves in love, in joy, and peace, right? So we shine. So people come from afar. Spiritual sons, daughters, the world, your boss calls you in the office going, hey, listen, my wife just got diagnosed with cancer. I heard that you're a family member. It just went into remission. Will you pray for me? And I will pray in the name of Jesus. We rebuke cancer out of your spouse in the name of Jesus. And we command every cell to line up to the word of God. We command mutated cells to go and healthy cells to come in. And we command just white blood cell counts to rise. And we thank you according to Isaiah 53. We believe the report of the Lord. And we thank you for those doctors. They are on Team Jesus. And we are all working together. And we thank you, Lord, that you are downloading a spirit of wisdom, knowledge, and revelation to what to do. And we thank you, Lord, that by the stripes of Jesus, the lashes you took on your back, your spouse was made healed 2,000 years ago. And I will stand with you and I'll pray with you once a week and I'll pray with my spouse and we will be by your side in your weary days. You can call me in. Why did they call you in the office? Because you walk in peace and you shared your story with someone because you connected as a conduit. You all have a story. It brings encouragement. When you coat yourself in the fruit of the Holy Spirit, it paves a way for the powerful gifts of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Romans 8:17. If we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Since we are joined to Christ, we also inherit all that he is and all that he has. I am joint seated, share number one, in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. I am a son or daughter of the Most High God, and all the power and all the love that Jesus died for at the cross to give to you, I can release as a conduit and a vessel to the world around me. Don't forget where you're seated. Chair number two, remember that? We're just caught up in our emotions, thinking we are unworthy, and I'm just not feeling like praying for anyone today. Get over it. You making it all about you? I don't feel like it. Okay, I'm just going to go to church late because I've had a really hard week and I just don't feel like it. And I'm just going to sit in the back with my hands in my pockets and run the clock because, oh my gosh, worship is going so long and Sherry won't shut up. Oh my gosh. And then I know. I'm working on it. I've been cutting my messages in half. That's why we're in like 6-week series. Okay, so because our switch of faith is off, because we're stuck in our feelings, nothing more than feelings. My dad used to sing it all the time. Chair number two. But we are actually joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So get back where you are called to be. He paid the price for you to be a joint heir with Jesus Christ. A conduit, I'm not the power, he's the power. It's time to turn the switch on. 2 Corinthians 5, 19 through 20. And he has committed to us, Jesus has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Reconciliation is paying off someone's sin debt. Aren't you glad your sin debt was paid for? You don't have to hide in shame. Jesus covers your shame, took the debt of sin. Do you know how many people hang their head and are trapped in shame? And you can bring the message of reconciliation. Hey, Jesus paid the price. You can cash in this coupon to redeem a coupon, right? Let me introduce you to Jesus. He has taken your past, your present, your future, all your sins, and nailed it to the cross so you can hold your head up and saying, I am a son, I am a daughter of the Most High God, and he wants to use me. And I have a story, and it's not a mistake if you can use it to help someone else. You are not a mistake. You are not a mess up. You're not a failure. He will use it to help and set other people free. Amen. Amen. We are all called. It says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. So that means all of us, when you gave your life to Jesus, when you said, Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you died and rose again, and I give my life to you. That means we become seated with him in heavenly places. Chair number one, I am a son. I am a daughter of the Most High God. I am his ambassador. Here's the thing with ambassadors. Maybe I'll preach it next week. Ambassadors do not preach their own agenda. Ambassadors do not preach their own agenda. They preach the kingdom that they came from. They teach God's way of doing things. They don't teach their own interpretation of their favorite scripture. They teach the whole Bible. Do you hear me? Ambassadors don't preach their agenda, don't preach their favorite things. They preach Jesus Christ. And we got to be really careful that we don't put our spin and of our own agenda on his name. We are his ambassadors. I need to move forward. Let me say this. Let's not forget where we're seated, joint seated with him in heavenly places, co-heirs with Christ Jesus, the power source. Because when you know who you are, you know what to do. When I know I represent Jesus, I know how to interact with people. I know how to talk to people. I know how to pray for people with power and authority. Oh God, would you just, I hope that you heal them. No. I am joint seated with him in heavenly places. I'm going to release Jesus Christ to move. I command sickness to leave right now in the name of Jesus. I speak to every imbalance in their brain, and I thank you those serotonin levels are just balancing out, Lord God. I speak to their hormones, and I command them to line up. I thank you. I command insomnia to go. In Jesus' name, we release peace over their house. I'm not the power source. He is. But when you forget who you are and where you are seated, we start to pray some weak sauce prayers. And suddenly prayer is like a wishing well. Oh God, flick, I hope that you heal them. Oh God, oh, I hope their spouse comes back. Oh God, I just hope that, you know, you can help them find a car. Where am I seated? Remember who you are. When you know who you are, you know what to do. And I want to say this, if you are struggling with insecurity and identity, and I taught some series a while back, but get renewed in the Word of God. Meditate on the Word of God, okay? John 1:1-5, Jesus is the Word made flesh. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never overcome or extinguish it. So when you build up your faith through intimacy, that means just hanging out with Jesus with no agenda. Jesus, I love you. Thanks for forgiving me. Can you help me to forgive other people? Help me to see myself the way you see me. Help me to see other people the way you do. Jesus, what's your plans for my life? What's your plan for the people in my life? Lord, show me. What does your word mean? Saturating yourself in his word and letting him teach you who he is. It builds faith and it builds our confidence in who we are in Christ Jesus. Because when you know who you are, you know what to do. Your relationship with God cannot be a scripture today on your Bible app. That is not going to get your mind renewed. Because remember, Satan's tactic is to overwhelm us in our emotions, to distract us with the darkness. Oh God, oh why, why did this happen? Oh God, get me out of here. Oh, come Lord Jesus, come. Rapture time now, sign me up. Oh God. He wants to overwhelm you. He wants to doom and gloom you. He wants you to sit around and complain with your little Christian circle and talk about how dark the world is. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Turn your switch of faith on. I came to the world, a very dark world, to bring light. You are the light. Be the light. Go pray with power and love and watch the world around you change. So how do we turn the light back on in the world? How do we receive and release the power of God and the love of God to the people around you? How many people want to learn how to walk in love, walk in peace, walk in joy, walk in authority, walk in power, and move and allow the gifts of the Holy Spirit to come through you? I do. Guess what? It's really simple because I do youth ministry. I thank God he called me to be a youth pastor. Do you know why? Because I don't have time for religion and intellectualism. You just got to keep it simple. Jesus preached the gospel to people with no education 2,000 years ago. Keep it simple. You're oversimplifying things. Yes. Otherwise, a 5-year-old couldn't give their life to Jesus if we complicated the gospel. Now, there are people called to the intellectual community, and I am grateful for them. There are theologians and people that just incredible things. But when you share, keep it simple. So here's my example. Okay, so let's just compare the power of God like electricity. Right? I would say this, sometimes when I sense, like I said, God normally talks to me through pictures, but sometimes I feel like a sensation of the Lord, and it's like a really cool thing. I'm not going to teach you feelings. I'm going to say he talks to all of us different. Isn't that great? Because he made you all different. But let's just say that the power of God is like electricity. So let's say this. Okay, the electric company, MedEd. It is not MedEd's responsibility. Oh, excuse me. Let me do this back again. Okay, reroute. Okay, the electric company is MedEd. How many people have electricity? You know, okay. All right, follow me. It is the electric company's responsibility to provide power to you, right? It's their responsibility to supply you with power. It is God's responsibility to supply you with power. And you receive that power when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you get extra supercharged with it when you go, Holy Spirit, I want all of you I can get. I'm not going to compartmentalize my life. Fill me. Every part of my life is yours, even at work, even at home, even when I walk my dog. I am yours. Fill me. I want everything you got, all the gifts. I'm yours. And we're talking a lot of power here, right? So if you have MedEd and it's their job to supply the power to you, when you walk into a dark room, do you need to call the electric company to send someone to turn the switch on? That's dumb. Come on, all you parents are like, you know where kids are like, they ask you that question. You're like, oh, honey, you're so sweet. That's not a good question. Okay. The electric company has supplied the power of God to you, right? God has supplied the power through Jesus Christ, his son, that we received, who resides on the inside of us. Why do you give me 50 zillion scriptures? Because I'm not making it up, and this is not a cult. I gave you a lot of scriptures to prove that we are the light of the world. The power source is in us. Jesus paid the price 2,000 years ago. He paid your electric bill. And then we sit every night over dinner. Oh, God, send someone to so-and-so. They're in such a dark place. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, I just pray. I hope that you heal them. I hope that you can just send them. Show them your love, Lord. Reveal yourself to them. I know, I'm just using weird accents because it mixes it up, whatever. Well, yeah. We pray like that because we are basically saying, hey, MedEd, can you come on out here? Can you drive out here and turn the switch on? Can you turn the light on? And they're like, no, you brilliant individual, you. You paid, the bill's been paid. Jesus paid the bill. It is your job to turn the switch on. Y'all following me? It's time to hit your power switch. Pastor Sherry, I don't know how to do it. Will you please read your Bible? Or wait till Sunday, but please read your Bible. I just encourage you, read the Bible. It's awesome. It tells you how to do it. In the meantime, I will probably bring some clarity and some jokes and sing off key, and we'll make it interesting, and I'll teach you as well. So hang on for this ride, because every person in this room is called to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ and is called to be a minister. and bring the light in the natural with your natural gifts and with the spiritual gifts. And when these two powers combine. Okay. Yep, it gets fun. Church gets fun. All right. So once again, it is not MedEd's job to turn the switch on. MedEd's job is to supply the power. Jesus Christ has supplied the power. Our faith in him is connected. Our job is to turn the light on and light up the room wherever you are. And it's not just for our sake, because let me tell you, if you're bored in church and you're like, oh, I haven't learned anything new. I'm just not getting fed. I'm not making up another book. There are other cults that make up whole other books to keep it interesting for you. Did you know that? Like, they're like, oh, an angel came to me and his name was so-and-so, and now you have another book. It's a cult. So, yes, you've heard it all before. Do you know why? Because I hope you've read this Bible a couple times over. But are you doing it? You bored? You church hopping? Is your light switch on? I know people that bounce at new church. Just, come on, guys. What? I'm not bored. Why? Because I'm having so much fun being the love and the light and praying for people and releasing healing wherever I go, right? It is not MedEd's job to turn the light switch on. We need to turn the light switch on not just for us and for the people around us in our home to get out a spirit of strife. Strife go in the name of Jesus. I got no time for you. We release the love of God and I choose to walk in love and forgiveness towards my kids and my spouse. Why? Because we got better things to do than pick each other apart. Luke 1, verse 79. So the Holy Spirit is upon you to shine a light on those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. I preached a couple times before, but we are to release peace wherever we go. If you are releasing stanking, negative criticism and judgment and complaining and doom and glooming, you are sitting in darkness. And some people just like it because it gives them something to connect with other people about. You know, people that like, oh, I don't know what to talk about, so they just complain. You are releasing darkness wherever you go. Isaiah 61, man, pray that over your life. I've been praying over that in my life for years. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon you, us, right? To set captives free for those that sit and are stuck in darkness. Ephesians 5, 15 through 16 says this, pay attention, pay careful attention. This goes to that word that was given up here. Pay attention, pay careful attention then how you walk, not as the unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are numbered, the days are evil. You'll never get back tomorrow, but you do have today. And when God opens up a window and you're like, I don't feel like it, my spouse and I were fighting last night, marriage is work, you will fight. Okay, but if that's your excuse to turn your switch off because you're moping and licking your wounds and you don't want to go pray for someone and encourage them and just say, hey, my spouse and I were fighting last night. And you know what? I'm believing that God's moving in marriage and he's healing that and I'm choosing forgiveness. Now let me pray for your marriage. And all of a sudden you go pray for them and all of a sudden, ooh, faith rises up. Because I didn't make it all about me. Matthew 28, 19, the Great Commission says, go into every person's world, right? Go into all the world, every career path, everywhere you go. We are to keep the switch of faith on whether you feel like it or not. How do you see, Lord, how do you see my waitress? I see her as valuable and precious. She's my daughter. And don't just go, hey, I just want you to know this, that God thinks you're so valuable. And I want you to know he has a purpose and plan for your life. I'm going to leave you a big tip, but I'm also going to pray for you. And if you can't pray right now, like it's okay. If you're busy, I'm going to pray right now at the table while you go do this. And I'm going to write you a scripture of encouragement. Here's my number. Call me anytime. I'd love to pray for you. Or we can just sit there and complain with our friends and gossip. Matthew 10, 7 through 8, Jesus commanded us, he did not suggest, this is not a suggestion. You know, sometimes we like to like candy coat the gospel. I was talking to someone and like people skip over the hard scriptures. You're not doing anyone any favors. There is hard truth in there. Jesus was not only loved, but he was also a stumbling block. Religion hated Jesus. Sinners loved him. Religion hated him. He loved big, but he spoke some really tough things. But he loved big, and it coded the truth with love. Jesus commanded us. It was not a suggestion. He said, go and announce to them the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick. Did it just say pray? I hope, God, you heal them. It says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, cast out demons, freely as you have received, freely you give. He commanded us to go out into the world and do the stuff that Jesus did. I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I'm worthy. I don't know. Good. Guess what? It's not about you. It's called grace. It is a free gift. Even when you're a total mess up, even when you did something really stupid 15 minutes ago, Jesus, thank you for forgiving me. You've sent me into the dark world, and I'm going to go pray for their grandma right now that's in the hospital. Lord, I'm going to pray right now, not because I'm worthy of it, but because you are. And I'm going to pray. I'm going to turn the switch of faith on and not go ask MedEd to send someone to switch the faith on. Luke 10:19, listen carefully. I have given you authority and power that you now possess. Jesus, I gave my life to you. You gave me Holy Spirit, power inside me. Why? To trample on serpents and scorpions and the physical and mental strength and ability to exercise authority over all the power that the enemy and Satan possesses, and nothing will in any way harm you. If you are struggling with this authority and power thing, it's really just a sense of unworthiness because you're so stuck in your past and in your shame and in your shortcomings. Well, if you read the Bible, he picks people with really messed up pasts, with tons of shortcomings, totally disqualified, that people pointed the finger at and says, no, oh no, you can't use them. And God goes, you're perfect. You know why? I'll get all the credit. I mean, that's exciting. Joshua 1:3 says this, and I have given you every place that the sole of your foot will walk. That means when you go to when you go to your job, when you go to, you go to the hospital, wherever you go, do you go to the schools, you go to see at the poll, you go to the grocery store, you go to the gas station, wherever you walk, he has given you power and authority to represent him as Christ's ambassadors. You have diplomatic immunity to the attacks of the enemy. Why? Because you are a son and daughter of God, and you represent him wherever you go. And you preach the kingdom of God in power, not because you think you deserve it, because we don't. That's the greatest thing of all. I don't deserve it. How freeing is that? Because if you deserved it, you'd have to like keep up the facade of being perfect all the time, and that is exhausting. And that's religion. I don't have time for that either. Authority is the right to command, right? So for those in the military, of many people, and we thank you for those that serve in the military in our church, when you have been given authority, it is the right to command that power around you. Jesus has given you authority, his authority, over the darkness around you. The right to command, I've got the power, his power inside. I know, because it just keeps you awake, right? You know, I'll just be ridiculous. I don't care. People, wake up, okay. Listen, if you sleep in church, I'm so thankful you made it. People are like, they'll come up to me, I'm so sorry I fell asleep in church. I was like, I am so glad you did. You came to church. People work really, really hard, and sometimes I have people on certain medications that makes you really sleepy. Thank you for coming to church. You can sleep through every service. If you snore, though, I will nudge you a little bit, okay? But like, you made it here. So I've got the power. You just woke up. Okay, so authority, God gave you authority, right? He gave you authority, his authority, joint seated with him in heavenly places, chair number one, not because you earned it, because it's a free gift, because you're his kid. And the power, the right to command that authority. This is where I've been preaching for 5 weeks. And do I have like one more scripture? Okay, Matthew 10:1. Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority and power over unclean spirits to drive them out, to cure, to heal all, every kind of disease and all kind of weaknesses and infirmities. Now I finally got where I've been going for 5 weeks. We going to have fun in October? Yes, we are going to talk about all those hard scriptures, the seven sons of Sceva, the madmen of Gadara, and all that stuff. And I want to say this, I will address both sides. It's a two-sided coin. We live in a natural world. Pinch yourself. It just woke up the person beside you. We live in a natural world. This is a physical body, but we also live in a spirit world. And for all you sci-fi people like me, that's not hard to comprehend. Multidimensional. Okay, so you need to address everything from the spirit and the natural. God works with doctors, praise God. They're on Team Jesus. God also moves in great power and authority through prayer. Address them both. So when it comes to like certain things, people only like to address the spiritual side. They hyper-spiritualize things, and be real with you, sometimes that doesn't address the natural and people shut down. Does that make sense? All sickness, disease, germ, viruses, illness, whether it be mental or physical, is from Satan, right? Torment. Okay? So if they get a diagnosis of schizophrenia, I'm going to just pray healing over their brain. And I will also command spirits that torment anyone's mind with depression and anxiety, right, to go. Two-sided coin, right? I don't even have to. Oh, my gosh, it's 12:05, and I just went there. Hang on for a fun ride in October. And yes, I'm going to teach hard things. And yes, I'm going to go there. So please, 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 please stay tuned. And please try to come every week. And please catch up. Because I have spent 5 weeks laying a foundation that you have power and authority in Christ Jesus, not because we've earned it, but by faith. And let's do the stuff. I'm going to teach you how to do the stuff, but it's not for your entertainment. And if it gets to a point where people just want to do a circus in church, I'll just be real. I'm going to send you outside. Okay? Go outside. Okay? But we're going to do the stuff that Jesus did. How do you build faith in the authority that you have in Christ Jesus? Here's your assignment. Will you please hang out with him every day? Because it's built through intimacy with him. Lane's got 3 kids. I'm just going to pick on Emma because she's just incredible. I love her. But if Emma hangs out with Dad every day, remember when you and Emma were like a tag team for a while? It was just really great. Like, it was just a work situation. And so Emma got to hang out with Dad every day. You have that inseparable bond. She knows Dad. And she knows when she represents Dad, and the twins are just, you know, being twins. And she goes, hey, you know what? You need to stop. Because Dad ain't going to do that. You know, like, she can speak in your name, right? She'd probably go pay a bill in your name. She can do anything in your name because she hangs out with you because she knows you. You are not a estranged father. You have relationship. Where does estrangement come from? Because we stopped hanging out. We stopped talking throughout the day. It got weird. It got awkward. A lot of us just stopped talking to Jesus about everything going on in our life. And here's the other thing. Well, I pray every day. Well, guess what? Did you know we can pray wrong? Okay. No, is it real? Are you being honest? That's a good thing too. But I want to say this. If we're just doom and gloom in it, and oh God, I hope that you, and we don't know how to pray powerfully because we're not in the Word. So here's your assignment. Get up 10 minutes early. Go to sleep 10 minutes early and spend time with him and ask the Lord to reveal how much he loves you and how much he loves the people around you. Ask the Lord to reveal how he sees you, where he's called you to be, and how to release the gifts that he's given you. Can you just start having those conversations with him? I'm ready for this. Take risks. Challenge to you. Pray for someone every day out loud. Yes, out loud, on video chat. I don't care. Do video chat, do it on the phone. Pray for someone every day and don't go, oh God, I hope that you. Pray powerfully in the name of Jesus. If you don't know his will, it's because we're just not reading it. If Jesus did it, that was his will. Amen? All right. I don't know. What should I do? Altar ministry, if you'd like to come forward for prayer. I know. I really could preach another hour, but we're hungry. Amen? So, if the altar ministry can come forward, let's all stand up, and I'm just going to pray. Jesus, we love you. Everybody repeat after me. Jesus, I love you. Help me to see myself the way you see me. Help me to see others the way you see them. Help me to keep my switch of love on and faith on. Holy Spirit, fill me. I want all of you I can get. I want all the gifts you have for me to bring healing and freedom to the world around me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would like prayer, if you just want to give a praise report of victory, the altars are open. We'd love to pray for you. Have a great day.